Ladies and gentlemen of Lafayette.
The Hammer Down Show with Jared Jussolaitis is Lafayette's number one sports show.
Yes, I'm excited!
He totally went to Jared.
The voice of Lafayette sports.
The cream of the crop! Nobody does it better.
Send us your thoughts on the text line at 765-447-4080.
Now go do that voodoo that you do so well!
I'm just trying to get out and golf, man. Trying to get it not being 20-mile-an-hour winds, and I don't have to wear, like, two gloves. That's what I'm trying to do. Yeesh. Rough out here. Coming up on today's show, plenty to talk about. We got portal news. A lot of portal news in the Big Ten. We've got a lot to get through. Let's go ahead and get started with your need-to-know news, as we always do.
Here's your need-to-know news.
Yeah, let's lead off with some portal news. Mason Gillis, former Boilermaker. We've known he's in the portal. He's found a spot, and the rumors have been true. I don't want to say this. He's a Duke Blue Devil. I like it. Look, here's the deal. You know what? Let's talk about it a little bit. We'll break down all this stuff. I am genuinely happy for the dude. Go make your money. Let's go. So, big weekend on campus here. The women's soccer team drawing 1-1 with that Canadian National Development Team. So, you like that. Women's golf, Maryland for the Big Ten Championships. They put together their best Big Ten scores since 2016. And they only finished fourth overall. Ugh. Rough out there. One stroke out of third. Momo Sugiyama, she was 10th low boiler. We await the regional selection show on Wednesday. Looks like they'll be good to go there. So we'll see where they go. Men's golf. Third at the Robert Kepler Invite out in Ohio. No Herman Secney. Still finished third. Sam Eastbrook, low boiler again. He finished fifth. Purdue back to Columbus this weekend. Big Ten Championships will be there starting Friday morning. Softball almost took a series from number 21 Northwestern over the weekend. Lost Friday night, avenged that game on Saturday. And we went 9 to the top of the ninth inning tied on Sunday. Wildcats got 4 in the top of the ninth, and the Boilermakers unable to overcome that. Ugh. Rooting so hard for that softball team. And if you could have gotten a series win over 21st-ranked Northwestern, I do believe that would have gotten a little bit of attention about what's going on here. So, Boilermakers now at 22-22 on the season. After that, Ball State is in town on Wednesday at Bittinger, and then they head out to College Park for the weekend. One last Big Ten weekend next weekend when they host Michigan State. Baseball seemed feast or famine on Saturday and Sunday. Slightly tighter game on Friday they lost. They 10-run rule on Saturday, then get 10-run ruled on Sunday. Luke Gaffney set the freshman RBI record on Saturday. He had a grand slam. But Purdue does drop 2 out of 3 on the weekend in baseball. You don't like to see that. As what is up next for the Boilermaker baseball team? I mean, it feels like they're still, I feel like they're in the middle of the longest homestand ever. They sit at 25-15 right now. They'll host Evansville on Tuesday. They do those $3 hot dogs, general admission tickets, beers, popcorn, nachos, all that stuff. They got the game at Wrigley Field on Friday. And then they'll do the other two on campus, Northwestern, Saturday and Sunday. Pacers down 27 at the half, tried to mount a comeback. It did not happen, though. They lose in Milwaukee 109-94. They came out firing in the third. They had a great third quarter, but couldn't replicate it in the fourth. Siakam with 36 points, 13 rebounds. They'll do game two tomorrow night in Milwaukee. The Cubs split the four-game series with the Marlins after a 6-3 loss yesterday. What the heck is going on there? Oh, it was a rough weekend. Was it Alzolay or was it Amaya? I think it was Alzolay blew the save. It was like his fourth one that he's blown this year. Yeah, no, that's not good. But anyway, Kyle Hendricks 0-for-3 now on the season after 4 innings, 6 hits, 4 earned, 5 Ks. No walks for the professor. Nico Hoerner stays hot, 3-for-5, 2 RBIs. And he's hitting .400 over his last 10 games. Off day today, Houston comes in tomorrow for 3. Wicks is supposed to be up in the rotation. Astros struggling as of late. They've lost 4 of their last 5. White Sox, a 6-1 loss yesterday. They head to Minnesota tonight. The Twins have won just 4 more games than Chicago all year, yet still -210 favorites tonight. Cannon on the mound versus Paddock. And there you go. That's today's Need to Know News for this Monday, the 22nd. All right. Our friends over at ESPN Bet, they got you back here again today. So I'm out here, I'm browsing, we're trying to figure things out. No Cubs to bet on tonight. But I think we got, I think if we go against the grain tonight, we could make some money. So I'm going to swing big today. We're going to put a two-leg underdog parlay together. And let me get to it here. The White Sox have been horrible. How horrible are the White Sox? I'll tell you, this is how horrible the White Sox are according to Vegas. Chicago's 3-18. The Twins are 7-13. They've won 2 home games all season. And this is in Minnesota. Yet the Twins are still -210. That's up from the -175 where it opened. Now, Jonathan Cannon came out 1 start, 5 innings, 3 hits, 3 Ks, gave up 1 run. Pretty darn good start. And on the other side, Minnesota is going to roll out Chris Paddock, who's like 90, right? He's been around. 8.36 ERA. The whip is over 2. He's given up a home run in all 3 starts. He's got 4 on the year. He struck out a measly 9 batters in 3 games over 14 innings. He's given up 24 hits. He's given up at least 6 hits in every game this season. At least 6. And we got the wind blowing out. That's in Vegas still says Minnesota -210. I'm fading it. I'm going to take the +175. You look at Paddock's numbers. He's getting barreled. His barrel rate's up there. I went and I looked at some of the advanced metrics for Paddock, and they're just, there's just no way. There's no way that the Minnesota Twins, as bad as Chicago is, they can't be bad every single game. This guy went out to Baltimore. In his last start, gave up 12 hits, 9 runs, 2 homers, struck out 2. 26% of the balls hit from him have an exit velo of 95 or higher. The K per nine rate is terrible. The ERA is terrible. The whip is terrible. Swing strike rate is terrible. Barrel rate is pushing 10. There's going to be some chances to make contact here. And I just got to think that the White Sox have got to snap out of it. They've got to win some. I mean, they're going to lose a lot. But these guys have won, what, one game in the last... one in the last 10? They can't keep being that bad. They just, statistically, they can't. So I'm rolling with that. Also, if you haven't been paying attention, the Pittsburgh Pirates jumped out to an absolutely amazing start to their season and have just fallen off the face of the earth. They're going to start rookie sensation Jared Jones tonight. But here's the problem. Milwaukee is pretty darn good at hitting righties. And this is the 29th ranked bullpen in Major League Baseball. I just don't see this all coming together. Milwaukee second in Major League Baseball in average versus righties. They're second in on-base percentage. They're third in slugging. And they're second in ops. They're also second in home runs off of righties this season. They are number one in RBIs off of righties this season. I think Jones is a pretty darn good pitcher. He's had some very good stuff. But this Pirates team has lost six straight. They just got swept by the Mets and then swept at home by the Red Sox. After that, Goodhart's. I know what you're probably saying too, Jared. Didn't you just sell me on the White Sox rebounding? Why wouldn't the Pirates do it? I have some faith in Milwaukee. I like Jones. Joe Ross is coming out for the Brewers. Okay. Jones has been pretty solid. He only gave up one hit in his last start against Milwaukee, but they've lost his last three starts, even though he's not the problem. And even though he strikes out 7, 8, 9, 10 guys a game, he's very capable of doing that. I'm going to go ahead and I'll take some plus value, right? I feel like we got some plus value there today. So let's do it. So you're going to parlay those two together. We're at plus 505 on ESPN Bet. I'm going to put together a little two-leg underdog parlay. We'll see if we can connect on the White Sox, and we'll see if we can connect on the Brewers. How often are you going to get a team that leads the division as an underdog to a team that's second to last in the division? Not often. So yeah, go ahead and give me this. I don't even care if it's in Pittsburgh. That's the play. All right? Don't forget, must be 21 and over. Gambling problem, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. And that'll be the play. I'm coming out swinging this week. Usually I try to take it easy, and then you know what happens is I overthink something, and then we get backfired. So let's not think. Let's just fire off a 5-to-1 two-leg parlay. Let's see what happens. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. A lot of movement in the Big Ten. We got portal guys all over the place. How should you feel about Mason Gillis to Duke? Plus a couple other names, including one that just popped up on our radar here. Looking for new homes. We'll talk about it. That's next. It's the Hammer Down Show. 1017 The Hammer and 1017thehammer.com. Hammer Down Show, 1017 The Hammer, 1017thehammer.com. You can always follow me on Twitter, at JaredOn1017. I'm out here asking you guys how you feel about you know, Mason Gillis is out of the portal, goes to Duke. 77% of yens say it's fine by me. 22% of yens say you're going to throw up. I guess it could be fine, but you still want to throw up, right? Is that kind of what you got going on there? Like, you're happy for him, but at the same time, you have a general disdain for Duke, and you're like, it could have been better. I get that. But, I mean, I've already seen a handful of players transfer within the conference. Would you rather him be out in the ACC, or would you rather him stay and got in a bag to go up to, like, Michigan or something? Yeah, that's what I thought. Look, you got to be happy for the guy, right? He's going to go out there. He's going to get paid. I'm sure he did okay here. He's going to get a lot more as a free agent. That's just the way that it goes. Probably more playing time there. He gets to take on a super senior role at Duke and mentor and teach younger guys, get them together. He'll thrive. He'll be great. You know, he put in his time here. He worked hard. He leaves forever a Boilermaker. I don't think you can be too mad. I mean, you have such an attachment to some of these guys, especially when they stay as long as they do. I get it. You hate to see them leave. But, again, an opportunity to get paid pretty darn good. Do it while you can. Because I don't know what his future holds. I don't know if he wants to go play overseas or anything like that. I don't know what his future could hold. But that kind of paycheck for like a season and get you a good foothold in life. Can't be mad about that. He didn't sit here in his time and complain or pout or anything like that he needed more time. He always seemed like a great teammate. Fans absolutely loved him. I think they're happy for him. I think you're generally happy, but there's just some programs that you hate in general, and you're like, Duke's one of them, but he'll be fine. He'll be all right. But I really do wish him the best. Good for him. Really good for him. That's not the only action in the portal, man. Connor Segan to Nebraska? Really? That was probably the one from the weekend. I was out here like, what? Oh, okay. What's going on at Wisconsin? Everybody in the portal from Wisconsin. But then again, nothing gets the attention of the alumni to donate into the collective. Much like seeing everybody leave because you don't have any money for the collective. I know some people were fearing that maybe he ended up down at Indiana. He ends up at Nebraska. But there's that inner conference move, right? And it's always a little uneasy. Like Roddy Gale Jr., right? This kid was looking like the future down there at Ohio State. People were getting excited about him. He up and goes to Michigan. That's not just in the conference. I mean, that's a, it's like the one place you're going to leave Ohio State they don't want you to go, and vice versa. It's crazy out there right now. Literally zero loyalty anymore because people are just dropping off bags left and right. And, you know, we've had these arguments, we've had these discussions, whether or not that is good, whether or not that's bad for the sport. It's certainly good for these players, right? Then you had Luke Goody going in the portal. And that maybe Indiana is a landing spot for him. I don't know that would necessarily surprise me. They need shooters. And since Segan's not coming, that would make sense. Right? Seguin went in the portal, comes out with the 21st, and then all of a sudden, Goody jumps in. That seemed like that would make sense to me. Michigan's been pretty darn active in the portal. They've got a couple of guys, but not conference guys. They got a 6'9 power forward freshman from Alabama that I do not know much about today. But, I mean, again, the way that it's going here is getting crazy. I mean, even Minnesota, Elijah Hawkins just jumped in the portal. That's such a blow for Minnesota. That was a program that looked like they were starting to get dangerous, wasn't it? I mean, we thought that that was going to be a bottom-dwelling team of epic proportions. You came into the basketball Big Ten season thinking Minnesota was probably dead last. And they ended up, I mean, they didn't play day one of the Big Ten tournament. They won 9 games in the conference. I think that was probably the over for whatever you had. They had some building pieces. Not anymore. I think somebody on my timeline said, it's going to be hard. You can't even root for these plucky upstart teams because they're all going to get poached. It's tough out there. But now we're getting to the point where, like, it's, you know, you used to transfer, you always seem to transfer out of the conference. And now we got, now we're just transferring to rivals. Like, that's the new norm? It's crazy. Look, Michigan's been very active in the portal. Indiana's been very active in the portal. They've needed to be. But again, look at this. Another reason to love Matt Painter and the way that Purdue does things. Are guys going out? Sure. But again, it's a guy, it's a senior you're looking to use his COVID year. That's out. You're not relying on this. You're not freaking out if you're not getting enough people. You're not freaking out if you don't get the right people. I mean, literally, zero anxiety when it comes to the portal. 900 on three says 968 guys in the portal, and under 20% of them are committed right now. Couldn't be us doing things the right way, bringing them up through the high school ranks, developing them and keeping them, making sure they're Purdue guys. Matt Painter's been ahead of the curve on this. Now, he's not going to be immune to some seasons having to go out there and look for a piece. But having to go out and get 3 guys, 4 guys in a portal year every other year, it's not Purdue. Thank God it's not Purdue. Love the way this is unfolded for him. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Got plenty more Hammer Down Show for you next. It's 1017 The Hammer and 1017thehammer.com. Hammer Down Show, 1017 The Hammer, 1017thehammer.com. Monday afternoon here talking our local sports. And Matt Ryan, former Colts quarterback, officially retired from the NFL today. I'm like loaded with all these little tidbits of stuff today. Right, Jets traded for Zach Wilson, they traded him to the Broncos, who released new uniforms today. And then you forget, just like, they had such great throwback uniforms, and they'll never be able to take those back as their, you know, throwbacks. Boy, they really butchered those things in the 90s. Ugh. I feel bad for franchises that have great throwbacks that can't go back to those because they're throwbacks. It's a dumb reason, right? I don't know why you just don't go back and make them the full-time ones anyway. That's what looks the best, is go back to it. It's not like you're admitting defeat or anything. Just go back. And then there's some, like, you know, the Colts, like that logo's never changed. Like in the NFL, what, the Steelers never change. I think the Jets kind of changed it up. The Dolphins have like little tweaks. Like the Bills have ever changed. You got franchises like Houston and Tennessee a fight over the Oilers stuff. San Francisco's never changed, right? Those things have been the same forever. Yeah. No, Dallas, you know, there's no real throwbacks to go to. But some of these teams took away perfectly good ones. Perfectly good ones. Also in the NFL today, we found out that Jim Irsay will not be in the draft room while he continues to recover. Like, he hasn't been really seen out in months. I think we still know exactly what happened. I don't know. ESPN says it was surgery on his lower back. But apparently he's still staying involved in things, but he won't be there. I'm sure he's given marching orders. But this draft will be interesting, right? Because the one thing about Irsay is he's a very vocal owner. Not everybody is like that. And while I think they seek to influence their GMs on things, I think he probably tries to do that a little bit more than most do. So I'm wondering just how much contact he'll be in on draft day. Because it's never a good thing when you got too many cooks in the kitchen. That's why Jerry Jones, Al Davis did it all themselves, right? I always looked at it. I never understood owners that meddled too much. I think you own the team, and I don't care what sport you have. You own the team. You sit down weekly, whatever, with your GM. You discuss the things, what you expect. But I think you still, you get your input, but you still let them do their job. But some owners just like refuse to do that for whatever reason, and I don't know why. Like, I wouldn't pay a lawyer and then completely ignore and just go, I'm going to do what I want anyway. That's so dumb. Why hire a GM if you don't let him work? That's the way that I always saw that. Again, his money, his team, do what you want. But I just always thought, why do that? Why do that? Never made any sense to me. Draft is this weekend. We will have it here on 101.7 The Hammer. Of course, we believe we all know what's going to happen with the Bears' number one overall pick. What happens? Quarterbacks and all that stuff afterwards, we'll see. Mixed signals out there. Anonymous GMs talking about how they don't think this is a very good QB class whatsoever, but a lot of teams needing QBs. If we get one that trades up, does that mean that sets off a cascade of trades of everybody else trying to get up there before something happens? And they say, listen, we're going to be down to an option that we probably don't like. Maybe we sit it out. We try again next year. Which isn't a bad idea. But the Colts sit back there at, you know, pick number 15. They certainly don't need a quarterback. They need a wideout. They need some secondary. I want to need some skill position guys. So if anybody is hoping for a cascade of quarterbacks to go early, it's Indianapolis. So they're sitting pretty good, I think, at 15. I don't know. Here's the only problem with that, though, is if you want to trade up, if you want to move up a little bit, that price might be a little bit steeper than normal because you could have those teams trying to get into the top 10 there and get a quarterback. So your options might be limited. But again, if they're all going, if you got teams leapfrogging specifically to go get quarterback, not taking your guys of need, I think you're going to be okay. I think it's a good wide receiver class. I think they can stay put. I feel like that's what they go with first, that you can make a splash there. You did good last year with your first round pick. Let's see if you can stack those, because for a long time there, the Colts were not exactly hitting on those first round draft picks. But they're doing much better these days. That's going to be great. I can't wait. Draft again Thursday. We'll have the coverage for you Thursday, Friday, and then, of course, Saturday with the rest of it. All right? Right here on 101.7 The Hammer. Now, everyone's house is it's different, but they're all the same in one way. We've all got those places where the Wi-Fi, it just don't go. For you, maybe it's the attic. For others, and maybe it's their basement. Well, if you had wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you could worry less about these dead spots. Now, finally, wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you get fast speeds throughout your home, you get reliable connection in every room, and power for all your devices, even when everyone is online. That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi only with Xfinity. New customers, learn how you can save $1,000 over T-Mobile in your first year with Kinect Internet and Xfinity Mobile. Switch today. Restrictions apply. Xfinity Internet required. Compares promotional pricing for Xfinity Connect Internet and two Unlimited Plus mobile lines versus T-Mobile Home Internet and two Magenta Plan lines. Equipment not included after promo. Regular rates apply. Don't you go anywhere. We're wrapping up the Hammer Down Show. Next, things we may have missed. Florida State has done something that I believe people on the internet are dragging them for, but oddly enough, I'm standing up for them. That and more and things we may have missed. Coming up next on 101.7 The Hammer and 101.7thehammer.com. Hey, welcome back. It's the Hammer Down Show on 101.7 The Hammer and 101.7thehammer.com. I am Jared Jesseliza. It's so good to be hanging out with you guys here on Monday. We'll have a great week this week. Like I said earlier, we do have the... we do have the draft coming up for you this Thursday. So if, you, if you're out and about, whatever, you want to check it out, draft coverage will start at 7 p.m. We got you covered Thursday. We got you covered Friday as well. Starts a little bit earlier on Friday, like 6:30. But yeah, no baseball or anything like that tonight. That's kind of a bummer. But we do have the draft for you. So that's going to be great. Let's get into some of the things we may have missed. Some folks are dragging Florida State football after they gave themselves rings that were labeled unconquered. It has 16 garnet stones, one for each ACC championship program history. ACC championship trophy Seminole head logo on top. Even though they got absolutely smoked in the Orange Bowl by Georgia, 63-3. And some people are really dragging them over this, but here becomes my argument with this, and I hate that I'm sticking up for these guys. I do. If you are not going to let them play in the college football playoff because their quarterback was injured, if you say undefeated, you can't play because that guy will not, then why does the Orange Bowl count? If you were going to keep him out and say this isn't the same Florida State team, then why is it not fair for Florida State to go, all right, then that's basically just an exhibition to us at that point? Like, I always thought it was weird, you know, USF had that, you know, banner that they put up when they went undefeated and they wouldn't let him go in. I get it. But, like, you weren't a national champion. And it's not like they're giving themselves national championship rings or anything like that. But some people are dragging them, mainly over Barstool, for calling themselves unconquered. If you are going to tell me they do not deserve to play in the college football playoff because they're missing a player, then you cannot turn around and say that, well, that game should count then because they're missing their, you know, even if they were missing their best player, you can't have your cake and eat it too. So oddly enough, I actually don't have any problem with it. I don't think you should either. You just can't change the criteria. If their season was over when their quarterback went down, then it was over. You ended it. You didn't let them play where they should have. You relegated them to a meaningless game where all kinds of players sit out, head to the transfer portal, all of that stuff. Georgia didn't beat a full-powered Florida State, so guess what? I guess they can still be unconquered. I understand why some people continue to egg on Antonio Brown. There may or may not be a popular sports show that continually says he's on a quote-unquote generational run, which he runs with. And while I find a lot of the stuff, almost all the stuff that he tweets, very distasteful, he does have his right to say the dumb stuff that he wants to say. But what he has done with Caitlin Clark this week has been so inexcusable that any mere mention of Antonio Brown right now should just get you lose so much in my eyes. If you missed this, he made a very, very crass comment about a physical appearance of Caitlin earlier this week, or should say earlier last week after the draft. Caitlin then blocked him. I don't need to see that stuff, which is what you do, right? But for now a week, he has done nothing but double and triple down on that. Continually harass her, post more pictures of her, some that look like that, no. But I don't understand. It's got to be so hard to be that woman. I mean, you already have to deal with that kind of attention, that kind of popularity. There's a responsibility. You always got to keep your cool. But, like, there's no way that she doesn't get inundated with that stuff to begin with. But to have somebody of a high profile like that just kind of continually go in on you, your boyfriend, over and over and over and over and over again like that. Nobody deserves that. And I understand that, you know, Twitter, X, whatever the heck Elon calls, it's all supposed to be about this. But at what point does it just delve into harassment that's got to be handled by somebody? Clearly, judging by the tone of his tweets today, Caitlin's people have gotten in touch with him, specifically her lawyers probably, and he's toned it down. But any more egging of him on by certain radio shows and stuff like that, I think you're losing a lot of ground there. It's terrible what he's done. He has not apologized. I don't understand why you feel like you can just do that to a woman over the course of a week and think that you're awesome for doing that. Absolutely terrible stuff. That does it for us on the Hammer Down Show today. Coming up tomorrow, yeah, I'm sure there's going to be plenty more portal news. We're going to continue to take a look at this NFL draft coming up on Thursday. What will the Bears do with pick number 9? What are we hearing? What's the latest? We'll get into that, and we'll start trying to figure out what's on the Colts' mind here and see what their play might be early on. All right, so we'll have all that and more back here on the Hammer Down Show tomorrow on 101.7 The Hammer and 101.7thehammer.com. I'll see you back here then.